I'd like to welcome everybody to a mini podcast of Two Men and a Bible Fighting the Cosmic Battle. My name is Jamie Sanchez, and I'm joined by Pastor Bob Brandon. And we were just discussing several topics after closing up a podcast, and it really came to our hearts to go ahead and put this, memorialize this. So, Bob?
Yeah, so let me set it up this way. Jamie, what we want our listeners to know is, in a sense, all of us. It's so hard to be doing something where you're speaking to people, but they've never rubbed shoulders with you. You know, they don't know what you look like, how you act, and all they can tell are words. But we want you to know us. And when we commonly paint the picture that our goal for the podcast is that you relax, you get alone in the privacy of your own room, you sit in a big chair with God's on God's lap, with His arms around you, and you're reading His book together. We don't want to minimize that at all, but what we want to bring to your attention, which you already know, we just want to put it on center stage for a minute, is that we live in real life. We don't just work in a church at all. In fact, we spend very little time doing that. I work full-time at a hotel, a very menial kind of job. I'm a security guy, for crying out loud. I'm the worst security guy you ever met. But I need to do something for insurance and to help put bread on the table. And Jamie also has to support a family. He's one of the greatest salesmen, but that's not always easy. He's got to find the right niche and the right product. And so on. But what we want you to know is that every person we come in contact with, whether it's in a context of church or quite often 90% of the time outside of that, we talk to them about this stuff. And it's these hours that we can carve out of our lives where we just get to purely speak about the Bible. But we want to relate how this goes down with us when we meet people outside of these kind of contexts. So let's just replay our stories of the last few minutes. And this is for no other purpose other than to say, we identify with you. We understand the conversations you have, the thoughts in your own mind and so on. We live in Western culture in the same year, in the same country probably, though we have listeners literally all over the world, we face the same issues. So the other day, I'm at work and I've got to take a contractor from the first floor to the 10th floor, the Four Seasons in Vail. So, you know, we push the button to close the door and I realize, you know, I got a couple minutes here. That elevator's kind of slow. That's the service elevator with this person that doesn't really know me as anything other than the security guy. And she's the designer. The interior designer for the Four Seasons. My wife also does interior design. And it's been interesting for her on occasion to see somebody come in and they'll go, "Hey, Bob, you know, yeah, Kathy did this." I'm like, "Yeah, that's right. That's my wife." And this girl will realize that I actually know something about interior design, not because I know it, because my wife does it. So anyway, I'm there with Lucy on the elevator and my mind's going, I got 3 minutes here with Lucy alone. So I say on floor one, "Hey, Lucy, do you think Jesus rose from the dead?" And Lucy looks at me, their eyes just go from half-masked to fully open, you know, and she goes, "What?" You know, like, what are you? She heard exactly what I said. Her "what" was more contextual, like, why on earth are you talking to me about this, you know, during a business day? And so I just repeated my question to say, you know, to communicate back, business days don't mean anything to me. You know, all of life is about this subject. So, do you think, Lucy, Jesus Christ rose from the dead? And she was still silent, and I said, all his friends were saying that. I mean, all the guys that lived with him and followed after him said he rose from the dead. I mean, were they delusional? Were they telling the truth? What was happening? You know, do you believe that? And, you know, now we're on the third floor. And Lucy says, "Well, yeah, that was a long time ago." And that was Lucy's way of saying, "I don't want to talk about this." So I said, well, truth isn't really dependent on time, is it, Lucy? I mean, as I look at you now, you're wearing blue jeans. It's June 26th, 2012, United States, Colorado. 2,000 years from now, will it still be true that Lucy was wearing blue jeans on June 26th, 2012, the Four Seasons in Vail, Colorado? Or will it only be half true because so much time has gone by? Like, truth doesn't... The time does not affect truth. Right, Lucy? And so now we're on the fifth floor. And Lucy says, you know, I wasn't raised in a religious family. And I said, me neither, Lucy. Do you think he rose from the dead? And by then we're on the 10th floor and it opened and we went about our work. But that's how I try and share the faith. Those are some of the issues we run into and how we tend to handle them. Don't let put-offs end the discussion. You know, think them through. And did Lucy come to faith on the elevator? No. But did we perhaps plant some seed that might bear fruit months to come, years to come? I have no idea. But the way I feel about it was I was faithful to tell her the story. So, Jamie, we had, you know, a big day yesterday was James's wedding. So there's tons of people there that he's affected that know him well. And those are just tailor-made opportunities to present the faith. So how'd that go?
Well, James, just for our listeners, is my oldest son. And he's very fortunate to have friendships that have stood the test of time so far. They're young still, but you know, they are still good friends. And so I've known these kids since they were in first and second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched them grow up. They've been around my family. They've watched my family. And two of these friends in particular, when they come and see our family and come and visit us for, you know, a special occasion, or you know, over the years we've kind of started a tradition that, you know, 1 week out of the summer every year they all come and, you know, hang out. And so the first friend, and I'm not going to say his name, but the first friend and I, he's very adamant about not wanting to conform in his mind to things like the Bible. You know, it makes him feel not quite as smart, maybe, is a good way to put it. But every time I share the Bible with him, he always tells me, Jamie, I'm just not there. I'm not there. And so he came for the wedding. We had the discussion again, and we're going to have it every time as long as I'm on the planet, every time I see him. And
let me interrupt you real quick, because I know who you're talking about, and we had a discussion yesterday too, but just, you know, not about those subjects, but I was attracted to him. I mean, there's a young guy full of life that, you know, what we call in our culture generally a good guy, you know, and he's being on his best behavior because he saw me do the wedding, so mm-hmm. In his mind I'm the religious guy, so he's saying stuff that's safe.
Right.
You know, he's not telling, we rode down the gondola together. He's not telling me about all the stuff he did, which he doesn't realize I know.
Right.
But, you know, and a very likable kind of guy.
Well, and I challenged him, Bob. I don't feel that we can take these words lightly or flippantly, or, you know, take some and give away the others, and you know, I think it's a way of life. And so my challenge to this individual was, I told him, we're gonna go spend 48 hours in the wilderness in a tent, and over that 2-day period I'm gonna give you ample time to share with me what your truth is and where you derive that truth, and then you're gonna give me ample time to share with you the truth that I know is the truth, and I will share with you where that truth came from. And I said, and after we're done, we're going to compare our two truths, and we're going to come out of the wilderness with it, with some type of agreement. And he looked at me, Bobby, and he's like, really? And I said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Because, you've opened my eyes to the cosmic battle. I get it. And when I see it at work on people that I care for, and I don't know that anger is the right word, but it offends me.
Yeah, there's conflict.
You know? And another one of my son's friends, he kind of vacillates back and forth. You know, he's Gnostic one year, and then the next year he comes back and he's Christian, and then
he's Buddhist,
and then he's Buddhist,
and then he's everything.
And he had really made a lot of headway towards building his relationship with God and really starting to understand the Christian faith and the Christian way of life. And I was really impressed with it. And this past trip, you won't believe this, but he shared with me that he doesn't consider himself in the household of faith anymore. And his words, Bob, he now considers all scripture sacred.
Yeah.
And I shared with him, my story, which you know, Bob, and I think some of our listeners know a little bit, but I didn't grow up in the household of faith. I grew up with the knowledge of God, but, I grew up Catholic and then went from there to basically Gnostic. And what I was sharing with this young man was that after 40 years, when I came to faith, I'm 45 now, I look back, Bob, and it scares me where I was at. Scares me. And I thought I was okay.
Yeah.
So I shared with this young man that we were going to work on that too. And really trying to develop and discern truth.
Yeah. Let me, it's a mini podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Let me sort of summarize what we're talking about this way. I completely respect the fact that God has made every human being individually. I mean, I will never have the role of conforming anybody to a cookie cutter kind of mold. Here's what a Christian looks like, and you need to fit into this. I mean, I know the guys you're talking about, and I would have extreme reluctance to make them into anything other than what they are. I really like both of those guys. But God's their creator, and they have to come to grips with Him on His terms, and however He brings them to His terms is God's business. Our business is just to be faithful to what He's called us to. But I can imagine some of the feelings of our listeners, like, man, I can't believe you're just in the elevator and you all of a sudden start talking about this, or you're at a wedding reception and you start... just so our listeners know, nobody dictates to me when is time to talk about God and when is not, other than God. If it's on an elevator, it's an elevator. If it's at a wedding reception, it's there. I don't play by the rules of our culture. But there's only one reason that I would say that, as boldly as we say it, and that is I know the person we're talking about. I know God. And once you know Him, the hang-ups that people have about talking to Him don't matter very much. Maybe they get angry. Maybe they don't listen to you. Maybe they do. Right? You did. Jamie did listen to me. Who knows? But if you don't get in the batter's box, you will never know what the response is going to be. And it's none of your business, literally, what the response is. Your business is to do the work of the Lord. and be faithful to what you know is true about him. So we offer these things all just to say, we live in the same place you do. And it's God's creation and God's world. And we are so excited about where that's ultimately going to end up. And that we only have this brief moment of time, given the scope of eternity. You know, you got 70, 80, 90 years here to be found trustworthy and faithful, given the whole scope of eternity. Come on. Well, get up to the plate.
Bob, you shared this philosophy with me, or this maybe even strategy, which is, you know, what's the one thing we can't do in heaven that we can do down here?
Tell somebody about him. Because everybody in heaven knows about him, and they're all on board. Here is the only chance you will ever have to do something better now than you can do in the future.
So I guess...
I got a great voice.
Yeah.
Right? But it'll probably be better in heaven.
Especially when you sing, right?
I have a okay heart, but it'll be better in heaven. Nothing will be better in heaven compared to my chance now to tell people about him.
So I guess what we'd like to encourage our listeners to do is to step out boldly and stand firm in the faith, and to really, you know, we talked about the Great Commission on our last podcast that was given to the apostles in the Acts, and how it you know, was connected with Pentecost. But my encouragement is that every day, be aware when you meet somebody and listen, because God tells you. You know, for me anyway, I get like that immediately.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You know, my way, Jamie, is to say, get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by this point, 150, 200 pages into the story, you know what this is about. Get in the game and let God transform you from the inside out. But the natural result of that is you start talking to people. And you will meet resistance, because it's in the midst of it is the essence of the cosmic battle. But you will also meet some of the greatest people you've ever met. So stare God right in his face. Let him transform you. And when you turn away from looking at him, you'll see his people. Just tell them about him. So let's pray. Lord, take your words, transform us from the inside out, that we would take your words, as you said in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 and following, let us proclaim these words until you return. Let us be found trustworthy and faithful with them. Transform not only our lives, the lives of those around us.
Mm-hmm.
Give us that joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.